D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. We hope you are having a wonderful Thursday. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. How's everybody doing today?
Well, I'm not doing too well at the moment.
Mm.
My computer is, I'm going to be flying solo or blind in a little bit. I went and bought a new charger. I thought it was my charger, so I go and buy a new charger. I plug it up and it seemed like it was working. Then it went back to the same old icon above the charger thing. And then it says it's not charging. So I'm like, freak. And I did say that, freak. Like, I said it like that. So
you went to the Apple store.
Yes, went to the Apple store.
Haven't you always thought it's a bit presumptuous for the people who work there to be called geniuses?
Hey, if they want to be called geniuses, I'm going to call them geniuses.
Don't they need to pass some sort of test?
I'm sure they did pass a test.
Some sort of IQ test?
I'm sure they had to. Don't you think, Willie? In order to be called a genius in that particular field?
I have to say, that store is unlike any other store.
You go in there, you just, whew, it's like, whew, you get lost.
It's different. Yeah. It's different.
It's
they've gotten the job done for me. I can't complain.
I mean, they
but
get the job done.
It sounds like they haven't.
No,
what's going on?
No,
it's not
because
charging?
No, it's not charging. But to eat, the guy's name was Ethan. I told Ethan, he recommended the cord. He looked up my buying history. He said, oh, you have that computer. Okay, let me match you up with the right, you know, charger. So he did. But I also told Ethan that, hey, I think it may be. I told him about the icon. He was like, yeah, that may be a computer problem. So you may want to make a
take your computer and throw it out the window?
No. He said make a time slot for a reservation for, you know, Genius Bar. I think that's what they call them. Genius Bar.
The Genius Bar.
Yeah, to look at your computer. And he was right. So he was helpful. He sold me a cord, which didn't work. Doesn't work.
Gotcha.
Got me. But he also said, hey, listen, it could be the actual computer, the port. But I was like, I'll buy it anyway just in case because I'm going to work. And he was like, whoa, what do you do? I have some radio shows. My cool people. Willie and Adam.
You think Ethan might be tuning in?
He could be. You know,
one time.
He needs to be at working, so I don't know if he's tuning in.
To be fair, one time, Derek.
In band camp.
Got into a minor car accident, and the woman who was on the other end of that car accident was listening to the show and texting in at the same time.
She did.
So
yes,
it is possible.
That
it is possible that Ethan is listening. Shout out to Ethan at the Apple store.
Ethan hooked me. He got me straight. I just got to take it back now. So there we go.
Before we dive in to our show, and we have a lot to discuss. Mitch Light of The Athletic will join us at 3:40 to discuss the first round of the college football playoff coming up. What happened, Derek?
We just went
blank. Oh, no.
We just went blank.
We got you, buddy. We got you, buddy.
I can use my cell phone. I can use my phone.
Elliot Freeman of Sportsnet will join us at 5 o'clock to talk Predators and NHL. But before we go any further, we do want to share our condolences with the family of Terry Crisp. His lovely wife, Sheila, has passed at the age of 82 after a long battle with cancer. We all love Terry Crisp here. If you've met Terry Crisp, you all love Terry Crisp. He's easy to love. So we're devastated for Terry and his entire family following the loss of Sheila. And Willie, I know that you and the Crisp family, your family, are very close. You, of course, have dealt with loss, tragic loss as well. So I wanted to give you an opportunity to honor Sheila before we start.
Well, you know, it won't be easy, but you said it well. I mean, it's the Predators family. When I think of the Predators family, the first family is the Crisp family. I mean, they're so welcoming. And you mentioned Terry Crisp, you know, and that is one of my all-time idols and mentors and friends. And just watching his special relationship with Sheila over the years has been amazing. You know, when I was a young married guy and just starting with the Predators, when they started, you know, they took us under their wing. You know, they taught us the lifestyle, the hockey lifestyle, the professional, you know, the travel. And it's they you know, in their own way, were amazing talking about how it's not for everybody. You know, it's not easy. There are challenges, the travel, all of that stuff, and it takes special people, special relationships to endure all of that. And they had already been through a generation of that. And then I watched that relationship for another generation as they became grandparents and mentors to all of us here in Nashville. So, you know, Sheila's loss is not just any loss. You know, that is one special, special life force. And her and Aaron had an incredible bond. You know, they did for a long, long time before they both got sick. But, you know, going through the fight together, it was inspirational to watch them support each other. And, you know, a lot of you saw in the Hockey Fights Cancer the helmet that UC Saros wore that both Sheila's on one side, Aaron on the other, with a couple other special people as well on their partner, Baugh. And, of course, Lexi Rogers, you know, special. It just says everything about the Predators and what they're about. And so many people today I have heavy hearts. You know, there's not a single person that's ever been associated with the Predators. You said it well, Adam. If you've met any of the Crisps, you love the Crisps. They're just special, special people. So there's not a whole lot of words to describe it beyond that. But we will miss Sheila, and she will also, kind of like Aaron, she made her mark. She lived an incredible life, and she left so much with us. And I will guarantee you that she's hanging out with Aaron right now, and they're having a big old party with some wine and some laughs and everything. And I'm really, really comforted thinking of that.
Well said. We, again, offer our condolences to the entire Crisp family on the loss of Sheila. Just heartbreaking news. I really do feel for Terry and his entire family. So they will be in our thoughts and yours as well. So remember the other day when I said that people who liked Diego Pavia on Saturday morning still would like Diego Pavia on Sunday morning following his social media posts after the Heisman Trophy ceremony? I might have been wrong about that. Reese Davis, the host of College Game Day on ESPN, we all know Reese Davis. He is a Heisman Trophy voter. He voted Diego Pavia number one on his Heisman.
No take backs.
Nah, you can't take it back.
You can't take it back. But he did vote Diego Pavia number one on his Heisman Trophy ballot. And he said on a podcast the other day that he regrets his first place Heisman Trophy vote for Pavia because of what happened afterwards. Here is what Reese Davis had to say.
It wasn't his response to the voters that bugged me. It was the way the response then went toward Fernando Mendoza, if and only in a way that Fernando caught astray. There's nobody that I've run across in the last several years in college football that carries himself with more class and more dignity and more character than Fernando Mendoza. He looks you in the eye when he talks to you. He references previous conversations with you. He acts like a man of character and class. Diego Pavia didn't, and he apologized for it. I accept that, but I voted for the Heisman for 20-something years. I've only regretted my vote two times. One time it was because of on the field, and I was unfair in my judgment toward a person. In my effort to be fair, I ended up being unfair to the person I should have voted for. This one was different. I regretted the vote because after Pavia's behavior in the aftermath, I was like, man, I'm glad he didn't win. I'm glad he didn't win. That's not the way you should feel about a player that's as great as Pavia is on the field. I am delighted that Mendoza won because he will represent the Heisman in the way that I think it should be represented.
So that was Reese Davis explaining why he regrets voting Diego Pavia number one on his Heisman Trophy ballot.
I mean, you can't really have any fault with anything he says. It's just, it goes back to the lesson of life that Diego is learning the hard way here, and that is, when you put it out there, it's out there. There are no takebacks, right? Like Herm Edwards says, you press send, it's out there forever. And you get what you get. I think you said this, D-Mace, it was probably a split-second decision, a mm-hmm. whim decision that wasn't well thought out. Maybe he wasn't in the best state of mind. Mm-hmm. And there is a domino effect, especially in today's day and age where there is a, what would you call it, the echo chamber, people mm-hmm. say, right? So Reese Davis said something, and now Reese Davis says something who's, you know, he's a classy guy, he's a respected mm-hmm. guy. People listen to Reese Davis. So now everybody else is reacting to what Reese Davis said. We're reacting to what Reese said. So yes. This stays out there, right? So it's not done with the cycle. It's like you hope to nip it in the bud the day after. Mm-hmm. It doesn't do that. That's not how it works.
It's unfortunate for Diego that, you know, that moment, that split moment. And Trevor said it. Best. He said, listen, someone else told him, you build all your life or all your, you know, young life for a reputation, an upstanding reputation, and you build it and build it and build it. And it takes you years to build that. And it took Diego years to build the reputation, you know, that he has. And it only takes 1 second, one tweet, one word, one action, to have it all come crumbling down. Should it be that way? I don't know. On most cases, no. But that's the way our society is. You know, that one thing will totally ruin your career. And I'm not saying that it's ruined Diego's career, but when you have Reese coming out, and like you said, Willie, he's a respected individual, especially in the world of sport.
Right. He's not a hot take guy.
Exactly.
Right?
He's not. He seems to be a fair guy across the board, when it comes, especially when it comes to sports, and that's all I'm talking about. So when a guy like that says it, that has been in this business for a long time, people take notice. And it's unfortunate. And not only Reese, and I said this yesterday, not only Reese Davis and you know, when it all came out last week, there's going to be some GM that, like Pavia before, that saw that, like Reese Davis, and said, nope, don't want him on my team. Because what if he comes in here and he doesn't win the backup job? Let's just go with the backup job. He doesn't win the backup job. Is he going to do that again? I don't think he would. But those GMs, if you're not a first-round talent in their eyes, because you can say the talent of Diego, yes, he has first-round talent. He just doesn't have all the measurables to play
right,
that
position.
So
he's already fighting that.
So he's already fighting that.
He doesn't have the prototypical skill set that would allow people easily
to flourish in the league. Exactly.
Now, I think we know that he will also have a lot of good people going to bat for him
absolutely.
Behind the scenes and saying, you know, that's not him.
Absolutely.
Let me tell you everything about him. Now, does he have that streak in him, right? What did I say yesterday? Your greatest strength can be your greatest weakness. Mm-hmm. That happens with a lot of people. But what hurt him is the same kind of drive, chip on the shoulder mm-hmm. that made him, I think, what he is in a lot of ways. So I hope he just learns from this and is able to overcome it and has the shot that I know everybody dreams about, right? Everybody dreams about just having the shot. That's all. That's what he has said publicly. We know one thing about Diego. He's going to say what's on his mind. And he has said, look, I just want a shot. Just give me a shot.
It was almost as if, and I forget, I think it was Hutton yesterday that said it, that Mendoza won the Heisman with the interview.
Yes, Hutton
the interview
said that yesterday.
Won the Heisman.
The post Big Ten
exactly.
championship interview. The oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. We're flipping champions. That one.
And then he doubled it with the speech he gave during the Heisman. It almost reminded me. I love movies, The Outsiders. I love The Outsiders. One of my favorite movies. And it reminds me because somebody brought it up. It's like, The angel and the devil is like Diego's the devil and Mendoza's the angel. It's almost like the greasers and the Sosas. It's this one side of this they're rough, they're tough, they're coming at you. They have an attitude about them because that's the way they are. That's the way they've been, you know, sort of wired. Then you have this other guy that he's coming at you, but it's coming at, he's coming at you in sort of a nice way, a kind way, but he's still coming at you, and he's still going to get you. That's the situation that I think a lot of voters, when they looked at Diego, they saw I think some of them didn't look at numbers. I do believe some of them didn't look at numbers. Because if you're looking at numbers, Diego wins the Heisman. If you look at numbers, Diego wins the Heisman. I think they didn't look at the numbers. They looked at each individual as a person and what they would represent if they got that trophy. Reese just was like, man, I'm glad I didn't vote for him. I mean, I'm glad he didn't win. I voted for him, but I'm glad he didn't win.
At the time that they voted, did they really have that much against him? Other than he's brash?
Man, the way that voting was, that wasn't just because Mendoza played, you know, that weekend. If it was just because Mendoza played that weekend and you talk about stats and what they did for their team and this and that, it would have been much closer. But I think a lot of people had in their mind already, I'm not voting for Diego. I'm not. I'm voting for Mendoza. And what happened was the game, the play, and then the interview solidified it for him. Stamp, this is who I'm voting. Because it was such a wide, not to say Diego, I thought, you know, it's not, he didn't win. Okay, that's fine. Mendoza deserved it. He won. Diego would have deserved it too had he won. But I'm telling you, I think people had made up in their mind because that margin was too big.
I love a good scathing newspaper column. You don't get too many of those anymore. And Chase Goodbread, that's a real name, Chase Goodbread of the Tuscaloosa News wrote a column, a scathing column on Diego Pavia. And I would like to read a portion of it right now. Mm-hmm. Had this been the 19-year-old Johnny Manziel, a Pavia confidant, by the way, and F all the voters post on social media would have at least been less surprising, if no less classless. But after 6 years in college, you'd think Pavia would have signed up for at least one course in humility by now. The kid blows off his steam defense, also fails to hold up when one considers the dozens of kids who didn't. Decades worth of disappointed Heisman finalists who managed to leave New York City without leaving behind their dignity like Pavia did.
Low-hanging fruit. Mr. Goodbread.
Mr. Goodbread.
Not to be confused with Mr. Goodbar. Pretty good candy bar.
Yeah, Mr. Goodbar was
I like
pretty
Mr.
good
Goodbar.
Candy bar. Yes, you're right.
Who doesn't love Mr. Goodbar?
Or Mr. Shortbread.
Or Mr. Shortbread. Or Mr. Goodbread. So.
I don't know who Mr. Goodbread is.
Tom says on our text line, it's a shame, really, the goodwill Diego lost and the marketability. He had a shot at being the Cam Scataboo of this year's draft.
Hey, listen, I don't – there may be some truth to that because I think, you know, following this league, and all of us, following this league as long as we have, there are situations where GMs just take you off the board for
there
acts
are.
That they deem –
But somebody will give you a shot.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's been, and I'm not saying
a lot of people have done
not,
a lot
exactly.
worse things than what
I'm
Diego just
I'm not saying
just
somebody's
said,
not going to give him a shot, but I think there will be – a GM that says, no, I don't want it. I just don't, you know. Because it happens every year, you know, whether it's a guy like Diego Pavia who's been an elite college athlete or a guy that's, you know, predicted a six-round guy. It happens every year where a GM will look and say, I don't want him on my team. And unfortunately for Diego, there may be a team. I hope not because, again, unlike that, article, I'm not going to tear this young man down. Is he brass? Is he cocky? Is he confident? Hell yeah, he is. And I like him that way. He has to learn that has to stay on one side of the line.
By the way, Mr. Goodbread had Diego Pavia second on his Heisman Trophy ballot. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on what Reese Davis had to say, regretting his vote for Diego Pavia for the Heisman Trophy following his behavior after the ceremony. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, the college football playoff starts this weekend, and this may be the last time you see two Group of Five teams in the field. We'll discuss that next. 615-737-1025. Also, keep in mind, we do have another pair of Music City Bowl tickets to give away during the program, And I've got another trivia question, and it's a doozy. It's a doozy, if I do say so myself. So I will let you know soon when you can have a chance to win those tickets. 615-737-1025. Looking for a great spot to pregame on Sunday before the Titans game? Stop by John Bon Jovi's and pregame with us at 1025 The Game. JBJ's has the best food on Broadway, cold beer and cocktails, and stunning skyline views, including two epic rooftops. The pregame show is brought to you by Tennessee Brew Works and Old National Bank. Tomorrow between noon and 3, Chase and Big Joe will have your chance to win a $100 Moments Piece Salon and Day Spa gift card, and you can qualify to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card. It's the 12 Days of Christmas on 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. The first round of the college football playoff starts this weekend. Here are the lines for the first round games this weekend. Alabama at Oklahoma. Oklahoma favored by 1.5. James Madison at Oregon. Oregon favored by 21. Tulane at Ole Miss. Mississippi is favored by 17.5. Miami at Texas A&M. Texas A&M is favored by 3.5. And when the college football playoff bracket was revealed a week and a half ago, there was plenty of hand-wringing about the fact that two Group of Five programs, Tulane and James Madison, made the field. By the way, new Predators minority owner Nick Saban said this to the Pat McAfee Show today, quote, "Would we allow the winner of the AAA Baseball League, the International League, I don't even know the name of it, would you let them in the World Series? That's the equivalent of what we do when JMU gets in the playoff and Notre Dame doesn't," end quote.
He's not wrong.
So we'll talk about this with Mitch Light in the next segment as well. I'm hoping that Tulane and JMU can at least be competitive in their respective games for a little while. There were a lot of blowouts in the first round of the CFP last year. Need I remind you, Penn State defeating SMU 38-10, Ohio State defeating Tennessee 42-17, Texas defeating Clemson 38-24, which isn't really a blowout, but it was a decisive win for Texas. Earlier today, I saw this story from Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports with the headline, "The college football playoff will change next year due to an agreement made 18 months ago." And he writes, "While Tulane's and JMU's inclusion brings about the feel-good stories that often make college athletics differ from the pros, this particular year has introduced an unusual situation that the creators of the playoff probably never imagined. There are two, not just one, non-power programs in the postseason field of 12. It may be the last time it happens." Dellinger writes that this memorandum of understanding that was signed last year, moving forward, next year's playoff will specifically designate that the champions of the SEC, ACC, Big 12, and Big 10 receive a berth into the postseason field, plus the highest-ranked non-power league conference champion. So based on those rules, here is how this year's college football playoff would be different. Duke would be in after winning the ACC championship. JMU would be out as the second-highest-ranked non-power league champion. Also, we talked about this last week, the conferences, for some reason, agreed to grant Notre Dame a guarantee for the future. If the Irish are ranked inside the top 12 of a 12-team playoff, they automatically advance into the field. So, based on that, this year, Notre Dame would have been in and Miami would have been out. So, based on this memorandum of understanding, enjoy it, JMU and Tulane fans, because this is the last time that you're going to see two Group of Five teams in the college football playoff.
So they're going to change it again, and a lot of people I think would vote for that change, but it is interesting how, if you look at the whole process going back to when they first started the, what was the Bowl Alliance, wasn't it called, was that mm-hmm. the first thing mm. that passed the, we just play the bowls and then we just vote, remember, for the longest time that's what they did, mm-hmm. and then it was, well, let's get the one versus two. So let's get the Bowl Alliance. And the one thing was the Rose Bowl wasn't in there. They were like, we're not going into that alliance. You guys do what yes. you want. We're staying Big Ten versus Pac-10. Mm-hmm. And then it went to the one versus two. Then it went to the four. And then, you know, it's evolved. But if you count up all the changes, it's a gazillion, right? There's always subtle tweaks, and we still can't settle in on something that we all think is great. So I don't know what to think of that. But it does say that the format is everything. Well, the format is everything.
It says that, you know, basically JMU, you guys will never get in again, ever. That's what it's saying. And it's unfortunate for schools like that if, you know, if even if you're ranked high, if you don't win your conference, you're not getting in no matter what. So I think people expect this to happen. Last year was sort of like a nudge, like, okay. But the blowouts were Power 5 teams, Power 4 teams, however you want to call it. You know, UT getting blown out by Ohio State.
SMU being blown out
exactly.
by Penn State.
It wasn't a JMU or something. So people kind of was like, yeah, as long as – but then now you have a JMU in it. And who else is that?
Well,
Tulane.
I think people – I would put myself in this case. Mm-hmm. People don't have the same Cinderella gravitation towards the little guy. Like they do in basketball.
Because in basketball, you can win. Like, there's a legitimate – because in basketball, you can be the better team. But if I'm shooting lights out from outside, I may win.
So there's something about that we love mm-hmm. that we don't even want to see in football.
Well,
is that fair to say?
Yes, I think
part of it. And I thought I would feel different. Because I've always been like, yeah, let the little guy in. I want to see the upset. But, of course, I'm influenced by – My guys aren't in there because of this, but I try to put that aside. Like, I think you want to have them at the table somewhere, but what do the people want? They don't have that same allegiance. We all want to know who's the upset going to be in the tournament. Who are we going to pick in our brackets? We talk about that for days leading up to the tournament. We don't have that same feeling in football.
There are a couple of reasons why, I think. One, there are more teams in the mm-hmm. basketball tournament. There are 68 teams.
Right, there's room for everybody.
Yes.
Yes, that's number one. Number two, in football, those Cinderella-type upsets are so rare. I mean, people still fondly remember Appalachian State beating Michigan. That was nearly 20 years ago. How often do you see that level of upset in college football during the regular season?
It's not a consistent theme in the college football playoffs. It's consistent in basketball where, you know, a number 15 or 13 team can win multiple games.
Right.
You may win this game, but because you're moving up and the competition gets even better or tougher for you, you may get blown out the second game. You know, and nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see a score of 45-10. They don't want to see it when it's two power teams going together.
By the way, I believe Ole Miss already beat Tulane this season 45-10.
So nobody wants to see that in a college football playoff.
Correct. Dan Wolkin of Yahoo Sports, and correct me if I'm wrong, Willie, fellow Commodore.
He is.
Dan Wolkin wrote a column about this, talking about how the pitchforks are going to be out if it's blowout central in the first round of the college football playoff. But he also writes this, quote, "This is the nature of tournament play in any sport, where you include teams that don't realistically have a chance to win the championship. Highly competitive first-round matchups are the exception, not the rule. Only when you reach the postseason stage, where it's best against best, can you reasonably expect to see something memorable."
Yeah, I guess. I mean... What do you expect out of the college football playoff at this point? You expect at least two blowouts, right? So everybody should look at it now as, okay, this is the last time we will see a format like this. This is the last time we'll see, hopefully, a blowout like this with two teams that people believe don't deserve to be in, Tulane and JMU.
There's going to be some blowouts, though. Like in the NFL, the league that has the most parity mm-hmm. that you can possibly have, like they've worked at it to have the maximum amount of parity. You still see a lot of mismatches.
But you're more likely going to see a blowout if JMU goes against Ohio State or Tulane,
sure,
Indiana,
sure,
than you would see Indiana going against Ohio State.
No question. And you watch. Somebody could play a great game this weekend and have everybody going, see? That's why you got to do it. You know, like if James Madison shocks the world or something like that. Hal Gill will be very happy about that
absolutely.
With our underdog picks.
I'm trying to recall what the betting line was in the Texas-Arizona State quarterfinal game.
In Arizona, game a run for their money.
Double overtime.
Yeah, it was a great game.
Right.
Yes.
So you're hoping for something like that.
But Arizona State is a major college program.
Yes.
So they were an underdog, and the league was down.
I'm seeing
but
the spread.
But it's still Arizona State.
Like,
we don't
like the
hear Arizona
was,
State and say, oh, that's the little
exactly,
guy.
Yeah,
you don't
no.
say that.
Mm-hmm.
It looks
same
like
thing
the
with
spread
SMU.
Was Texas by nearly two touchdowns.
Oh, wow.
So you're hoping for something like that. But to your point, Willie, Arizona State is a Power 4 team.
Yeah.
Not Tulane, Ole Miss, and no disrespect. I mean, not Ole Miss, JMU. And no disrespect to those programs, but
it's look, considered a different level. It's not an offense to them. It's just that's the world of college football. That's how you are viewed.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the first round of the college football playoff, which starts this weekend. Mitch Light of The Athletic will join us coming up next. We'll bring him into this conversation, get his thoughts on the first four games of the college football playoff and more. That's coming up next. 615-737-1025. We are presented by Bax Homeworks, remodeling done right. Get a free estimate now at BAXHomeworks.com. Our show will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circa Sportsbook Kentucky inside the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday prior to the Monday Night Football matchup between the San Francisco 49ers and Indianapolis Colts. So join us, won't you? 615-737-1025. Speaking of that number, let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Mitch Light of The Athletic to help us preview the first round of the college football playoff. Hi, Mitch. How are you?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. So of the teams playing this weekend in the first round of the college football playoff, which team should be on upset alert the most?
Well, I don't think either of the teams playing Group 5 opponents will be upset at all. The spread in the Alabama-Oklahoma game is about even, I think Alabama by one. So I'm going to go to A&M, A&M-Miami game. I'm fascinated by this matchup. I think, and I'm using the term fraud here loosely because these teams are all very good in the college football playoff. But you can make an argument that both of these teams are kind of frauds for where they're ranked. Or, you know, Texas A&M, both of them basically that wins over Notre Dame are really lifting their resume. You know, a lot's been made about A&M's strength of schedule in the SEC, and you can only play the teams that are on your schedule, but they have a lot of close calls. You know, they beat Auburn by 6, Arkansas by 3. We know what happened in the South Carolina game where they were losing 30-27 at the half and won by a point. They lost to Texas, by far the best team they played. So you can poke holes in their resume. And same thing with Miami. You know, Miami's got 2 losses to teams that are not ranked. And, you know, that early season win over Notre Dame is very good. They beat up on the back end of their schedule, but those teams weren't very good. So I'm fascinated by this game. Wouldn't be surprised if either team won. I'd probably pick Miami to win on the road.
Mitch, of course, a lot of attention is going to be on, well, not a lot of attention, but there will be plenty of attention on the Group of 5 programs in the first round of the playoff, Tulane and James Madison.
Yep.
The lines on those games are pretty significant. Ole Miss favored by 17.5, Oregon favored by 21. How important do you think it is for Tulane and JMU to look competitive for at least a portion of these games?
Yeah, it's an interesting discussion. There's so many different ways to look at it. It's complex. You can sit here and say that look across to other sports. First round of playoffs usually aren't that competitive. There's blowouts. We see them all the time. We see them in Super Bowl for years. You know, at least when I was growing up in the 80s, we see it NBA, NHL playoffs, 1-8 and all that. The disappointing thing as a fan of the sport for me, and I'm not anti G5. I definitely think a Group of 5 team should make the playoffs. In this year of college football, where the talent was so spread out and we had so many good teams and some teams that we think could win in the college football playoff not make it, that we're in a situation where the first two of the first two of the only four first-round games don't look like compelling matchups. If Tulane had not played Ole Miss, I think we'd all feel better about this matchup. You know, Tulane blew Duke out. They've been a competitive program. They beat USC, I think it was in the Cotton Bowl, 3 years ago. We've seen them do good things, but we saw this matchup. We saw Ole Miss run them off the field, outgained them by 300 yards. So, unfortunately, we're in a college football is a sport that overreacts to small sample sizes year after year. So I think if these two teams get blown out, I hate to see what the powers that be do. Like, you know, if we go to 16 teams, which I think we will soon, there's still going to be a group of five automatic bid. If they stick with 12, what would they do? I don't think they would take away the automatic bid, but I just don't want to see the sport overreact to 1 year where this is sort of a fluky occurrence with James Madison making it.
Now, Mitch, I know the odds makers outside of, say, Tulane and Ole Miss, this is going to be a separate, not Ole Miss, but Tulane and JMU. But the odds makers probably has either Ohio State winning a national championship or Indiana, based upon the game we saw in the Big Ten championship. Outside of Tulane and JMU, what would surprise you in this tournament?
Well, I think the top, I mean, this is not groundbreaking. I think the top four seeds are clearly the four teams that have the best chance to win it. Not just because they have the bye. I think they're the best teams. Like Georgia was my preseason pick, so I stuck with them at the start of the playoffs. So they wouldn't surprise me. Texas Tech, I'm fascinated to see how they match up with, if they get to the semis and play in Indiana. You know, Texas Tech is a lot has been made, rightfully so, about the portal additions in the defensive line. They are totally legit there. They can get after teams and cause problems for quarterbacks. So I guess to answer your question, Derek, I'd be surprised if one of the top four seeds did not win it. Oregon is a good team. They, you know, they lost to Indiana at home. They struggled at Iowa. They struggled against Penn State. Again, another one of those teams you can kind of poke a hole in their resume. I just think the top four seeds are clearly the top four teams.
Now, Mitch, I want to switch over to the hardwood because I've enjoyed watching Vandy play this year. They're only 11 games deep. They're 11-0, one of, you know, I think six undefeated teams.
Yep.
Last night they looked sloppy and still end up getting a win. I was talking with Willie. I said, I think they needed a game like that because of the physicality that Memphis brought and then them overcoming the turnovers that they had, which seems to be, you know, not sort of Vandy. But what do you think of this team?
Yeah, I think you made a good point. I was talking to someone before that game. This team had not faced adversity all season. And to their credit, you know, a lot's been made about the schedule. It's been good, not great. There's a collection of solid teams, but not great teams. I think maybe one of the games in the tournament in
the Atlantis, the battle for Atlantis.
Yeah, Atlantis. They,
what have they done with Atlantis? When they won the battle, did they just control that, or are they putting a golf course down there? Like, there's Legends Vanderbilt Golf. Like, is
We'll have to dive into what happened there. I think the VCU game, they got up to that great start, and the VCU cut it to three at the half, but then Vanderbilt kind of flexed its muscles in the second half. So, you know, I was actually at the game last night. It wasn't a big crowd. It wasn't that hostile, but it got loud in the second half. And when Memphis takes that 5-point lead, again, like I said, this is the first adversity this team faced. And one thing, and I don't know if you guys saw that viral clip from Will Wade at NC State where he just called this team out for lack of leadership. I found that interesting because I went back and looked at Mark Byington's quotes from after the game, and he singled out the leadership on this team when Memphis had the momentum going into overtime after Vanderbilt kind of lost that lead late. He was worried, and then he went into the players' huddle, and all the veterans were talking, and they were excited to play in overtime and all that. So I would say it's slightly concerning, the turnovers and all that and the pressure they face, but I think this is a good ball-handling team. They've got three guards who can handle the ball. I think they will be able to handle that pressure going forward. So, yeah, they've been a really fun team to watch offensively, and you know, last night was clearly their worst game of the season, and give Memphis credit for that defensively. But you're going to have ugly games like that, and it's better to win them than to lose them. So, yeah, it's been a good team to watch so far.
Mitch, the next matchup is another key game. As you mentioned, they don't have a lot of, you know, huge non-conference games that had a big spotlight like you said, it's kind of mid. Like, I don't know what their strength of schedule is going to be. They're relying on the strength of the SEC. So they've got this game at Wake Forest. What's that matchup look like to you?
Yeah, well, my son, senior at Wake Forest, Gabe, he's electing to flee the house on Sunday. He's going to the Titans game with some friends. So
what?
I know.
Is he just too torn?
He can't handle the heat.
He can't handle the heat.
That's it. Wake Forest is a long athletic team. They don't have much size. They don't score much inside. They're good on the perimeter. They don't press, so they're not a team like Memphis that's going to bring a lot of pressure. They are a streaky shooting team. They've had games where they've shot the ball very well. In fact, they played Memphis in a tournament, and they beat them on the Bryce Drew play, at the buzzer, if you guys remember seeing those highlights. So,
sure.
But the thing about Wake Forest is they're really the only team that's made Michigan sweat this year. Michigan has been absolutely dominant. And Wake led them in Detroit by 7 late, lost in overtime, and Michigan has not been tested since. Now, Wake played last night against Longwood, not a good team, and they won by 3 at home. My guess is Vanderbilt's like a 5.5, 6-point favorite. They'll need to shoot the ball better. But from a matchup standpoint, it does not look like the team that can expose some of the things that Vanderbilt might be lacking. They're not going to score inside a lot, and they're not going to pressure them like Memphis did.
Hey, Mitch, my Sparties are number 9 now. They're 9-1, and I've watched them play. They look good. So, Michigan, don't get too comfortable.
I'm aware of that. I know this is not a show where we like to praise Michigan very much, but there's not much to praise about Michigan athletics right now with all that going on. So I figured we'd give them a little bit of shine.
Mitch, I think people that follow you, they know your background with Vanderbilt. So give us your perspective on the fallout of Diego Pavia. We were talking specifically about Reese Davis. It's one thing if, for lack of a better term, a hot air shock jock says something, right? But Reese Davis is a really respected guy. He had a very measured thing. It wasn't mean-spirited. That's the kind of thing that I think has a little bit more of an effect. So give us your thoughts on what's happened here.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that, but from Reese Davis. We can disclose our Heisman votes now after the voting. And I voted for Diego Pavia 1, Fernando Mendoza 2, and Jeremiah Love 3. I think probably what you guys think very unfortunate for what Diego did. It was a bad look. It was a bad look for Vanderbilt. I kind of feel bad for Clark Lee, a guy who – and there hasn't been much that you needed to defend Diego about. We know about it. We know about his confidence and all that. But how many times have we heard Clark say, we let Diego be Diego. We don't tell him. We don't rein him in at all. Well, here's a case where Diego kind of let Clark Lee down and let the program down. Was it the end of the world? No. He shouldn't have done it, but it wasn't a crime. Don't get all the hate. I mean, I understand. I know the culture we live in, so I'm not surprised, I guess. But to hear someone say they wouldn't have voted for him was a little bit surprising. I do know that the people that dealt with Diego up there and the Heisman, all that stuff, had nothing but positive things to say about him, that he was respectful and all that. And I thought he handled all his interviews well. So it was an unfortunate thing for him that he's going to have to live with, as he tries to move forward. NFL, all that stuff, don't know how far he's going to get in that process. I do think he will make an NFL roster, maybe a practice squad. We can talk about that later. But that's something that's going to come up, and he's going to – when you're a borderline prospect, you don't need to be doing that self-inflicted wound. So I guess I'll just summarize it again by saying unfortunate, but not the end of the world.
And I think that's good level-headed perspective, because sometimes I think the actual act gets so blown up because of the echo chamber – that you forget, what exactly did he do? It wasn't great, but it certainly, some people have done far worse.
Yeah, no doubt. It's also, too, because he has a reputation. There were already certain people that did not like him and were waiting for him to do that. And, juxtapose that against Fernando Mendoza, who's the great Heisman speech and all that. I'm not saying he's a better person by any stretch. That's not what I'm getting at, but he gave such an eloquent, a great Heisman speech. And then an hour, 2 hours later, Diego does that. So I think that's something people like to point to as well. But again, I'll just say I'm surprised that people say, I shouldn't have voted for him after that. It's like you vote based on the merits of their season. Johnny Manziel won the Heisman. A lot of people voted for him, and I don't want to get into that, but I'm sure Johnny did a lot of things that were similar to that and a lot worse.
Mitch Led of The Athletic has been our guest on DMA's Fink and the Donicky. He joins us every week during college football season. Mitch, great stuff as always. We will not talk to you next week, so have a very Merry Christmas and a happy holiday, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Take care, guys.
Yep.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the college football playoff at that number. Also be listening, because when we come back, I will tell you precisely when you will have a chance to win Music City Bowl tickets. I have another pair to give away. And when we come back, I will tell you exactly when you can win those. 615-737-1025. Also coming up next, a major quarterback-related story in the NFL this week. And I'm wondering if there are any lessons the Titans can learn from the team that made this major decision. We'll discuss that next as well. 615-737-1025. The college football game of the week. Number 9 Alabama, number 8 Oklahoma. In the first round of the college football playoff, you can catch all of the action on 102.5 The Game tomorrow night at 7. Coverage is presented by Circus Sportsbook Kentucky and is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com.